This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, January 27th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Shares of UBS slump as clients pull $15 billion from the Swiss bank.
The Bank of Japan boosts its bond buying program in an effort to maintain its yield curve target.
U.S. tech earnings are in focus with results sending Microsoft stock higher while shares of Alphabet slump.
President Trump and UK Prime Minister Theresa May will hold a joint news conference today. Plus reaction to a 20% tariff on Mexican imports. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, both local hoops teams had the night off. It was all about hockey, and the Islanders beat one of the game's best.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by UNC Kenan Flagler's full-time MBA program. UNC Kenan Flagler, shaping leaders, driving results. Learn more at mba.unc.edu.
6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And U.S. stock index futures, they are little changed this morning. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. The CAC in Paris down 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 2.51%. The yield on the 2-year 1.23%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 46 cents to $53.32 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $6.80 to $11.85.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.0682. The yen, 115.09.
Trading for this Friday wrap-up to the week is underway in Europe. And for the latest there, we take you live to our London Bureau and Bloomberg's Mark Barton. Good morning, Mark.
Bob and Karen, good morning. Tesco has agreed to buy Booker Group for about $4.6 billion, pooling the UK's biggest supermarket chain with the number one food wholesaler and gaining access to the fast-growing market to supply restaurants and hotels. Now, the grocer says it'll pay a mixture of cash and shares worth 12% more than at Thursday's close. The value of the offer quickly rising as Tesco shares surge, Booker shares gaining as much as 17%, even as analysts express concern the purchase will attract the scrutiny of regulators. TCC Global analyst Brian Roberts says it's a game-changing deal that's completely from left field. BT Group has reported a sharp drop in third quarter profit, gains at its consumer and mobile business offset by an accounting scandal in Italy that forced a write-down. The results cap a week of turbulence for the former UK telecoms monopoly. It disclosed years of irregularities in Italy and also lowered its profit outlook as UK government clients and international corporate clients cut back on spending. Shares have slumped a record 22% this week. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thank you, Mark. Earnings results from UBS are sending shares of the bank lower. They're down 3.5% in Zurich. And Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with more. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. UBS reporting that clients pulled $15 billion from the bank in the fourth quarter. The CEO, Sergio Ermotti, sat down for an interview with Bloomberg following the results.
16 was challenging, much more than we saw in 2015.
While the bank's earnings on its U.S. brokerage unit more than tripled, Ermotti still expects to see outflows from the wealth management business in the new year.
We do expect similar outflows that we saw in 16 for this year. We do see a little bit of tapering in 18.
In his 6 years as CEO of UBS, Sergio Ermotti has stepped up cost-cutting to offset shrinking profit margins and is using technology to try and streamline the bank's wealth management business. Bob.
Thank you, John Tucker. Happy New Year. In Asia today, equities finished the session mixed as several markets were closed ahead of the region's Lunar New Year holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has more from our Hong Kong bureau.
Stocks in Japan rose for a third session as the yen weakened after the Bank of Japan purchased more debt in a bid to control its yield curve target. Inflation data, meanwhile, released from Japan showed prices excluding fresh food fell 0.2% in December, a 10th straight month of declines. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said this shows deflation is not over just yet. Stocks in Hong Kong closed out a shorter session flat ahead of the New Year holiday, and Singapore's Straits Times added added 0.4% to close at its highest level since October 2015. Juliet Sahli, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Juliet. Here in the U.S., shares of Google parent Alphabet are down 1.8% in early trading after revenue missed analyst estimates due in part to a one-time tax payment. Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde has the details from our San Francisco bureau.
It was the earnings per share that got the blame, coming in below analyst expectations, rattling a few investors. The reason for that earnings per share miss? One of them was a one-time tax item that lay to blame, but also the costs ramping up. Capital spending climbing 46%, in excess of $3 billion. Now, some of that money is being put to work in areas of significant growth. Cloud, in particular, they're trying to play catch-up to the likes of Microsoft and Amazon. And cloud, they say, is one of their fastest-growing parts of the business. And when you look at the rest of the core business of what Alphabet and Google has, we're still humming along nicely. Revenue up more than 20%, operating income up more than 20%. Real fixture upon the search, the mobile, YouTube, all getting a lot of praise during the conference calls and analyst discussions. Caroline Hyde, San Francisco, Bloomberg News.
Caroline, thanks. Shares of Microsoft are up just shy of 1.5% in early trading after the company reported second quarter sales and profit that exceeded projections. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett now with details.
Profit, excluding certain items such as a few weeks of results from newly acquired LinkedIn, was 84 cents a share on adjusted sales of $25.8 billion. Analysts on average had estimated profit would be 79 cents on revenue of $25.3 billion. Ivan Feinseth is chief investment officer at Tigress Financial.
I thought the results were very strong. I think the ongoing evolution to a more cloud-based company, including the strength in Azure, the increase in the number of subscribers for Office 365 were all positive.
Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And futures this morning, they are a little changed. Dow futures up 7, NASDAQ futures up about 4. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 2.51%, and NYMEX crude oil at $53.34 a barrel. That's down about 0.8%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. On the heels of yesterday's meeting cancellation with Mexico, the meeting with the British leader is on today. And Bloomberg's Michael Barr has the story. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. British Prime Minister Theresa May will hold a joint news conference today with President Donald Trump at the White House. Bloomberg will carry the event live starting around 1 p.m. Wall Street time. Yesterday, May said she is delighted that the new administration made a trade agreement between our countries one of the earliest priorities. May spoke about the Republican retreat in Philadelphia about Brexit.
We have chosen a different future for our country, a future that sees us restore our parliamentary sovereignty and national self-determination, and to become even more global.
Meanwhile, Mexico's president has canceled next week's visit to the White House. It comes after Trump announced Mexico would eventually pay for his promised border wall. Later, a Trump spokesman said one idea to pay for the wall would be to issue a 20% tax on Mexican imports. The Kremlin says President Vladimir Putin and U.S. President Donald Trump will exchange views on Russian and U.S. relations in an official phone call tomorrow. A Kremlin spokesman says he does not know if the U.S. intends to lift Russia sanctions. A lot of concern about President Trump's plans to tighten immigration policies to strengthen national security. In Sacramento, California, Rabbi Seth Castleman, joining with local religious leaders, voiced support for immigrant communities.
Purging and walls and discrimination, as is happening so horribly today, it rarely has an end.
However, Senator John McCain expressed concerns about so-called sanctuary cities voting to provide protection to immigrants.
For them to act on their own, not in accordance with U.S. law and with edicts and with executive orders, is not the proper role for a mayor and city council.
McCain was at the Republican retreat yesterday in Philadelphia. Participants in today's March for Life anti-abortion demonstration on the National Mall in Washington could have an added step in there today for the march for the first time ever. Vice President Mike Pence will speak. First time a vice president has ever spoken at the event. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. 6:09 now on Wall Street. And Rob Buschka is with us this morning with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Bob. Both the Knicks and Nets were off, which put the spotlight on the Islanders, who had a tall order to fill, taking on one of the game's elite, Montreal at Barclays Center. New York never trailed, got a pair of goals from Andrew Ladd en route to a 3-1 win. The Islanders, going through a coaching transition and battling the injury bug this season, found a way to pull together, says Coach Doug Waite.
The guys just believe right now. They feel, and it's about themselves, not buying into what we're saying. I hope it's a bit, but it's about themselves. They're playing hard for each other. They feel it. They feel good about it, and they believe they're a good hockey team right now.
Waite took over for Jack Capuano last week. The Islanders are just 4 points out of the playoffs. Devils weren't as fortunate against Washington at the Prudential Center.
Over the line. Watch behind the net. Continues on. Gives to Parenteau. Cross-ice pass. Settled down by Cavallari. His shot. They score. And Rick. The deflection in front.
Devils TV on the call. New Jersey did show some fight towards the end of the game, but Alex Ovechkin's goal and assist were too much to overcome. Caps win 5-2. Rangers were off, and so is the rest of the NHL to enjoy the All-Star break. Play resumes on Tuesday. NBA, the Knicks and Nets, since they were idle. More Carmelo Anthony trade rumors continue to swirl. The All-Star game quickly approaching. Melo's 7-year All-Star streak was snapped. The Knicks host the Hornets tonight. The Nets visit LeBron James and the Cavaliers. College basketball, a pair of top 25 Big East teams squared off. 19th-ranked Cincinnati takes down number 24, Xavier. And golf, Tiger Woods playing in his first tournament in a year and a half. Shot an opening round 76 at Torrey Pines. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob. Let's continue that Tiger tale. Shares of Callaway Golf fell more than 3% yesterday after competitor TaylorMade Golf announced it signed Tiger Woods to a multi-year product endorsement contract. Never mind his stumbles yesterday at the Farmers Insurance Open at California's Torrey Pines. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, informed by best practices across the world to bring strategic insight to your finance team. Learn more at cgma.org/radio.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Wheels Up. It's time to up the way you fly with Wheels Up, the most intelligent way to fly private. To learn more, visit wheelsup.com or call 855-FLY-8760. And at 6:17 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Mexico's top diplomat says he's still hopeful of reaching good agreements with the U.S. as the nations moved closer to a trade war, though he says paying for a border wall is non-negotiable. Today, UK Prime Minister Theresa May becomes the first foreign leader to visit President Trump since he took office. They'll hold a joint news conference after their meeting, and we'll bring you live coverage of that event at approximately 1 p.m. Wall Street time. U.S. fourth quarter GDP may reflect familiar trends today. Bloomberg Intelligence says consumer spending will be the major contributor to growth. The consensus is for a slowdown to a 2.2% annualized pace. And how did some hedge funds make the right bet on yesterday's deal between Johnson & Johnson and Actelion? Turns out they tracked J&J's corporate jet with live plane tracking websites. They bet on the deal after the jet parked a short drive from Actelion's Basel headquarters for several days. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures this morning, that'll change. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 36 cents to $53.42 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.10 to $11.8750 an ounce. The euro, $1.0690. The yen, 114.99. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, abortion opponents marching in Washington today say scheduled remarks by Vice President Mike Pence mark the first address by a president or a vice president at the event, now in its 44th year. The March for Life takes place today. President Donald Trump says he would sign legislation restricting abortion. Russian President Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump will speak by phone tomorrow. A Kremlin spokesman says the two leaders will exchange views on Russian-U.S. relations. In sports, in the NHL, the Devils lost to the Capitals 5-2. The Islanders beat the Canadiens. The Bruins won. The Sharks lost. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, how about some elephant dung to go with that coffee? Blake Dinkin, founder of Black Ivory Coffee, is now making coffee made with Jumbo's business. And Bob, if you want this Pachyderm Postum, it's $198 for 3 1.2-ounce packets.
I'm noticing a pattern here, my friend. The other day you were trying to convince me to eat crickets. Now this, are you trying to tell me something? Send me some kind of message, are you?
No, sir, not at all.
Okay.
A black ivory coffee stout will be released in Denmark and Thailand next month.
You can have it.
You want some coffee? I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:21 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Get a slew of economic data today, including Q4 GDP. Let's bring in a Bloomberg Intelligence Chief U.S. Economist, Carl Riccadonna, on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Looking for maybe a slowdown in GDP for the fourth quarter, Carl?
Yes. Well, if we look at the quarter-to-quarter change, we'll see a slowdown. Mind you, we had seen some unusual contributions in the third quarter. There was a temporary lift to inventories, and of all things, exports surged, but more specifically, agricultural exports, and even more specifically, exports of soybeans. And this moved the needle quite significantly last quarter, in Q3, rather. And we saw 3.5% growth in Q3. Those exports and inventory contributions added up to about a full percentage point. So what really happened in Q3 was closer to 2.5% growth. And I think we'll see a figure quite similar to that when the Q4 data come out this morning at 8:30.
Okay. Fed meeting next week. What are they focused on?
The Fed is focused on something that they cannot yet focus on, and that's fiscal policy. So they know that Trumponomics is going to likely include really three pillars: deregulation, we're starting to see that, comprehensive tax reform, we're only getting glimmers of what that's going to look like, and also ramped-up government spending and infrastructure investment, of which we have no idea how it's going to be paid for just yet. So the Fed is trying to clarify their 2017 and beyond economic projections, but they know that there's this big uncertainty of fiscal policy, and so they will have to tiptoe around that. And my expectation is they will be very hesitant to commit to future policy moves until there's more clarity on this front.
Yeah, you know, politics, it would seem, has trumped economics, no pun intended, for market participants, Carl. I'm curious, how do you adapt?
Well, similar to what the Fed's doing, we have to make a best guess as to what these injections into the economy will be. So step one is to step back and say, well, what do we do? What do we actually know? And what we actually know is that the economy is on the mend. It had a lousy first half performance last year, but the trend is accelerating, albeit very gradually, and albeit very committed to one single engine, which is consumer spending. So as we try to decipher the outlook, we really have to think about what's happening to consumers and how is their behavior going to change. And the real driver of that is the fact that the unemployment rate has finally pushed through neutral. That will create more wage pressures, and more wage pressures will drive consumer spending. So as dominant as that one engine has been, I suspect it's going to be even more so in 2017.
Carl, thanks. Bloomberg Intelligence Chief, U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna, providing unique real-time research and context on the industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers, access this function at BIGO. We'll have live coverage of the release of GDP, the economic report, 8:30 Wall Street time.
And another programming reminder, stay with us for One Wall Street Time, when we'll have live coverage of British Prime Minister Theresa May's joint news conference with Donald Trump. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. UBS shares down 3.5% in Zurich this morning after the lender said clients pulled a net $15.2 billion from the bank in the last 3 months of 2016. Profitability at its wealth management unit declined for a third straight quarter, even as rising stock markets and interest rates lifted earnings.
The big UK supermarket chain Tesco has agreed to buy food wholesaler Booker Group for $4.6 billion. That's a 12% premium over Thursday's closing price. Tesco shares are currently up 8.75% in London.
Here in the U.S., shares of Starbucks are down 3.8% in early trading after disappointing quarterly growth. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
The coffee giant cited a, quote, challenging environment as it posted disappointing quarterly growth and cut its annual sales forecast. Starbucks now expects revenue to rise between 8 and 10% this fiscal year. Previously, it had predicted a double-digit increase. The results signal that Starbucks' momentum is slowing, just as Howard Schultz prepares to leave his post as CEO in April. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
We had a slew of tech earnings after the bell yesterday. Google parent Alphabet missed profit estimates in the fourth quarter, caused mostly by a one-time tax payment. That's sending shares down 1.5% in early trading. Meantime, Microsoft quarterly sales and profit beat estimates, also helped by better-than-expected results from its cloud services. Microsoft shares are currently up, and let me find that, 1.3% in early trading.
And we are hearing from Honeywell. Those earnings crossing the Bloomberg right now. Fourth quarter adjusted profit meeting analyst estimates, and it went on to reaffirm its forecast. PayPal is talking with Amazon.com about a partnership. PayPal CEO Dan Schulman tells Bloomberg that two companies have discussed the possibility of letting shoppers pay for Amazon purchases with their PayPal accounts.
And the Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerful-outcomes-VIX. The VIX was down 1.6% yesterday to close at 10.63. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are up 1%, a tenth of 1%, at well, I've lost the number here. Sorry, Karen.
That's okay. Futures this morning, let's look at those. They're a little change. Dow futures are up 9 points. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. We'll look at world and national news straight ahead.
The VIX at 10.63. Sorry about that. It is now 6:33 on Wall Street. And let's check in with Bloomberg's Michael Barr now for the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The March for Life demonstration will take place today in Washington. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The 44th annual protest of Roe v. Wade has already made history. Mike Pence is set to be the first vice president ever to address the gathering in person. At the GOP retreat in Philadelphia, President Trump predicted the crowd will make history, too.
They'll have 300, 400, 500, 600,000 people. You won't even read about it.
The head of Georgetown Right to Life tells the New York Times they are pulling out all the stops to draw as many abortion rights opponents as they can, given the huge crowd for last weekend's Women's March. Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
President Donald Trump gets to see a friendly face today when he meets with British Prime Minister Theresa May, a cordial ally. Today's visit comes a day after Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto called off his own trip to Washington, planned for next week amid wrangling over who will pay for Trump's planned border wall. Bloomberg will carry today's news conference with May and Trump live starting around 1 p.m. Wall Street time. The Kremlin has announced that Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S. President Donald Trump will speak by phone over the weekend. According to the Kremlin, the phone conversation tomorrow will talk about Russian and U.S. relations. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. It is now coming up on 6:35 on Wall Street time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And Rob Buschke, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. A rarity with both local pro basketball teams taking the night off, so hockey ushered in the All-Star break as the Islanders took down one of the game's best.
Off the draw, Letty holds it down for Tavares. Tavares, let's go! It's a two-goal game for Andrew Ladd, and it gives the Islanders the lead.
Islanders TV on the call. The Isles never trailed, beating Montreal 3-1. New York, who replaced Jack Capuano with Doug Waite as coach last week, is just four games out of the playoffs. Tough night for the Devils at the Prudential Center. It usually is when Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals pay a visit. Washington raced out to an early 2-0 lead after the first period, never looked back. One bright spot is Stefan Nason, who scored his third goal of the year and feels like he's coming into his own with New Jersey.
I feel like I belong here. You know, it's it seems like that they need someone, you know, that could bang bodies down low and, you know, be a physical presence. And I wouldn't say an enforcer because I'm definitely not an enforcer, to kind of be really hard to play against. And so obviously that's what I want to bring. And, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job with that so far.
The Rangers were off, as is the rest of the league, until Tuesday. Nets, they head to Cleveland to face LeBron James and the Cavs tonight, while the Knicks entertain the Hornets. Another team has joined the trade rumor mill regarding Carmelo Anthony. It's the Clippers. They go along with Cleveland and Chicago as the frontrunners' deadline is approaching. Big East basketball, a pair of top 25 teams met as 19th-ranked Cincinnati, top number 24, Xavier, and golf. Tiger Woods played his first round in 17 months, carding a 76 at the Farmers Insurance Open from Torrey Pines. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Appreciate it. Rob Buschke. The hiring freeze imposed by the Trump administration includes nearly 70,000 civilians working for the Defense Department. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Most of these civilian jobs deal with support and acquisition, and many say they're essential.
It could slow things down sort of across the board for the department, as there are positions that go unfilled and work that needs to be done without people there to do them.
Bloomberg BNA's Andrew Clevenger.
These positions require a lot of expertise and skill, and so they're not easy to replace, and they're not easy jobs to fill. So, you know, leaving a huge hole of vacancies in that workforce would, I think, be problematic for the Pentagon.
He says there are steps that can be taken to remedy the problem.
The executive of the department, in this case the Secretary of Defense, can approve a waiver, or the director of the OPM, Office of Personnel Management, can approve a waiver on the grounds that it's needed for national security.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thanks very much. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
President Trump's promised wall has already stopped at least one Mexican from entering the U.S. President Enrique Peña Nieto has canceled his planned trip to Washington next week. Trump tweeted that if Mexico didn't want to pay for the wall, then maybe Peña Nieto shouldn't come. The Mexican president complied. Such is the state of relations between the U.S. and its third largest trading partner. Building a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border has never made much sense, economically, financially, or symbolically. Now its political costs are coming to view. There are far better ways to prevent the flow of undocumented immigrants and drugs from Mexico. Trump could, for one thing, provide new technology and manpower for border crossings, where most drug smuggling takes place. He could also order the full implementation of the E-Verify system and the long-promised biometric entry-exit system. The mere prospect of the wall is already disrupting relations with a neighbor whose enthusiastic partnership is vital to helping the U.S. grow its economy, achieve energy security, prevent crime and terrorism, and protect the environment. If Trump continues to insist on making the wall an issue, he'll endanger a relationship that has long served both countries well. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. And it's now time for your Bloomberg Green business report. It's been a contentious week as the new Trump administration shifted direction swiftly on climate change. Now scientists are warning yet another seemingly unrelated policy move will be bad for the planet. The president's plan for a southern border wall. Experts are pointing out that concrete is a potent source of greenhouse gas. According to engineers at New York University and University College London, Trump's Great Wall will need a lot of it, more than double the amount used to build Hoover Dam, which holds back the mighty Colorado River. They estimate a 1,000-mile length of the wall would require 275 million cubic feet of concrete. A researcher at Columbia University's Earth Institute figures producing that much cement, which involves heating limestone, would release as much as 1.9 million metric tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. That's more than the annual emissions from every home in Pittsburgh. The carbon footprint, says the Sierra Club, borrowing one of Trump's own favorite superlatives, would be huge. And that's not to mention the wall's effect on wildlife and potential flooding. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures are currently unchanged. 10-year Treasury prices are down 2/32. The yield at 2.5121%. We made it Friday. I, for one, will really appreciate the weekend ahead. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak here on Bloomberg Radio. The Bloomberg View was brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event is on now with exceptional finance rates. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by UNC Kenan Flagler's full-time MBA program. UNC Kenan Flagler, shaping leaders, driving results. Learn more at mba.unc.edu. Futures this morning are little change while NYMEX crude oil declines. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet today, with Dow futures currently unchanged. S&Ps drop a point, and Nasdaq futures are higher by two. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.51%. Europe is trading lower this morning, led by losses in the financials and telecom. And back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, GDP and durable goods orders. And at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Alphabet profit missed estimates on cloud costs. Microsoft and Intel beat. Starbucks missed sales estimates on weaker European and U.S. demand. VMware EPS beat the highest estimates. And Wynn Resorts is up 6% pre-market after its results. Regarding earnings this morning, Honeywell EPS was in line. And look for Colgate, American Airlines, General Dynamics, and Chevron all to report before the open. In other news, PayPal CEO said had been talking with Amazon on payments. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Maxim raised to buy at Bank of America. Intel raised equate at Morgan Stanley. Wynn Resorts raised to neutral at Nomura. Whirlpool cut to neutral at Goldman Sachs. Caterpillar raised to outperform at Wells Fargo. And Ford raised to outperform at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K, Go. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Vice President Mike Pence has agreed to speak at today's March for Life, the annual anti-abortion demonstration in Washington. In a statement, the March for Life says neither a president nor a vice president has ever spoken at the event, now in its 44th year. The march is held each year by protesters, marking the anniversary of a landmark 1973 Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion nationwide. Doctors Without Borders says it will begin to make a cautious return to Somalia. The charity pulled out of Somalia in August of 2013 after 22 years of operations there. It cited an environment where armed groups and civilian leaders increasingly allowed or condoned killings, assaults, and abductions of humanitarian workers. In sports in the NHL, the Devils lost to the Capitals. The Islanders beat the Canadiens. The Bruins won. The Sharks lost. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, It is Kung Fu Week at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Kung Fu legend Bruce Lee will be honored. Bob, some of his most famous movies will be screened, including Enter the Dragon. The museum will also show newly restored versions of The Big Boss, Fist of Fury, The Way of the Dragon, and The Game of Death.
You know, I guess we can truly call him a movie and martial arts legend when we are talking about him after all this time. Do you know how long it's been since his death?
Yeah, he passed in 1973, and it has been now 44 years.
Wow.
And we're still talking about him. And he is a legend. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For decades, Republicans have tried to cut or eliminate taxes on capital gains and dividends. Now Mike Lee, a Republican senator from Utah, is saying they should rise. At the same time, he would eliminate the corporate income tax entirely. That tax has some well-known problems. It encourages companies to finance investments through debt rather than equity, and to retain foreign earnings overseas rather than invest them in the United States. Taxing capital income at the individual rather than the corporate level would make investment in the U.S. more attractive. That's because individual Americans are less likely to leave the country to avoid taxes than companies are to shift their assets overseas for that purpose. Senator Lee sees this idea through the prism of the debate over trade. We can't shut down the global economy, he tells me. What we can do, he says, is bring more of the global economy here and channel more of the fruits of the global economy to American workers. Senator Lee says he's flexible on the details and is trying to start a conversation. It has the potential to be a productive one. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time.
Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. John.
A lot of small business people and entrepreneurs are constantly on the lookout for new opportunities. In some cases, these new ventures are viewed as extensions to the existing business, while other ventures are viewed as entirely new businesses. It is a distinction that matters for your taxes. For instance, do you apply the same accounting method, cash accounting for one venture, the accrual method for another? If they are separate, the tax code provides that a different method of accounting may be used for the different businesses. Well, the next obvious question then is, how do you determine if your businesses are separate and distinct? Well, no bright line standard exists. The regulations say your businesses are not considered separate if the use of different accounting methods shifts the profits and losses between them. Bottom line, the use of separate trades or businesses should not distort your income. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Yesterday, Ford Motor Company forecast a decrease in earnings for 2017 as it begins investing about $4.5 billion in electric and self-driving vehicles. We also learned that Ford took a $200 million charge in the fourth quarter to cover the cost of abandoning plans to build a factory in Mexico under sharp criticism from Donald Trump. Ford CEO Mark Fields sat down with Bloomberg's David Westin to discuss the company's recent results and what's ahead for the auto industry.
You're indicating 2017 might be a little bit softer. I understand basically based on your new initiatives, that's autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles, things like that. Tell us about those plans and what they will do to your bottom line.
Well, when we look at 2017, we're going to have another good year at Ford. It will be a bit down from last year. And the reason for that is because we're investing in emerging opportunities around electrification, autonomous vehicles, and mobility, which will open up more growth opportunities for us down the road. So we're investing for the medium and the long term, but still putting in a very good year that we're projecting for 2017.
So, Mark, one of the things that you'll be dealing with in 2017 is a new president. And as I mentioned already, you've met with him twice already. He mentioned even in the Roosevelt Room, that second meeting, that he'd seen you twice in 2 days. So, first of all, just give us a sense now, as you've dealt with him as president, what sort of a person is he going to be? How is it going to be to do business with him? What do you learn from those meetings?
Well, I think the president is going to be very good for business and the economy. And first and foremost, it's because he's focusing on it. David, I think it is very, very positive that his first couple of meetings in his new administration under his new presidency, he was focusing on manufacturing and automotive, and he's going to be very focused on driving policies that will drive, looking to drive investment and job creation in overall in American manufacturing and in automotive manufacturing. So I think it's very positive that he's focused on the economy and he's listening. And he's understanding from our standpoint, you know, the suggestions that we have to grow the economy going forward.
Yeah, and one of the ways he wants to grow the economy, particularly in the United States, is for you to invest more in plants in the United States. At the same time, where you are on the cycle, because there is a cycle to this vehicle sales, isn't this the worst possible time for Ford Motor Company to be putting forward billions of dollars in new capital investment in manufacturing facilities in the United States?
Well, let's put it into perspective. You know, our view is that the market here in the U.S. Has plateaued, but it's plateaued at a historically high level. And also when you look at the segmentation in the marketplace, people moving from cars to trucks and SUVs, that plays to our strengths. But we're going to be very judicious. We're going to do the right thing for the business. Earlier this year, we announced that we're going to invest another $700 million in our plant in Flat Rock, Michigan, and also create 700 jobs. We're going to be make sure we're doing the right thing for the business, understanding where we are on the cycle. We don't have any plans to build any new plants, but clearly we want to continue to grow our business and use the assets that we have as best as possible. And if we have a good business environment for manufacturing here in the U.S., that's one of the factors that we look at in our investment decisions.
Ford CEO Mark Fields speaking to Bloomberg's David Westin. A quick check of what's going on in D.C. now. So the top stories in our nation's capital include U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May meeting with President Donald Trump at the White House. They'll hold a news conference following their meeting, and we will bring you live coverage of that event at approximately 1 p.m. Wall Street time. Meantime, incoming Defense Secretary James Mattis will be sworn in, and House Speaker Paul Ryan will shed more light on the congressional agenda at an event hosted by Politico. And coming up, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. David joins us now to tell us what's ahead.
Hey, happy Friday, Bob. We'll be checking with our colleagues in Washington throughout the morning, getting the latest on the U.S.-Mexico relationship and on Prime Minister Theresa May's visit. She's scheduled to have a working lunch with President Trump today, and the two leaders are scheduled to hold a joint news conference at 1 p.m. Wall Street time. Of course, you can hear that live here on Bloomberg Radio. And on the show today, Adam Parker, the chief U.S. equity strategist at Morgan Stanley, Micah Zenko, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and expert on trade policy, will join us. And we expect new GDP numbers from the Commerce Department at 8:30 Wall Street time. We'll have analysis from James Glassman, senior economist at J.P. Morgan.
David Gura and Tom Keene on Bloomberg Surveillance. Just ahead, let's get a check of the markets now from Karen Moscow.
The futures, they are little change this morning, Bob, and the DAX in Germany is down about 0.25%. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 2.51%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.22%. NYMEX crude oil declining down 0.6%. Or 34 cents at $53.44 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.5% or $5.60 to $1,186.90 an ounce. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.